Doing something different today. Unlike other Sundays, we're not following the program. Are you flexible enough to do that? You know, sometimes as the ladies sang and Steve played, you got to thinking about how many times when angels appeared, there were more questions than there were answers. That, how's this supposed to work? And when the angel came to Samson's parents, and they were afraid they were going to die, and how is this word going to come true? But we have a question today too, and when we have questions that show up in the Bible, I think it's good to search them out. I was thinking about the account of Mary and Joseph and what God's purpose was down through the ages. And I got a sense of God's excitement in what was going on. That before the world began, he had a plan. He had a plan to save us. He put that in motion, and we might think, reading through the Bible, that motion was slow motion. It didn't happen very quickly. And yet, all through the ages, God had his plan, his design in place. God has preserved his word for us, and it's good for us to be diligent in studying it, in reading it. And one of the things that we sang about this morning was Emmanuel, God with us. And that's what we're going to be looking into this morning in this short message. You know what? I hate to do this to you. I don't think the message is very long, but it's not even 11 o'clock yet. You still have anything from the coffee bar last night? Or the chocolate bar? Talk slowly. Okie dokie. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We'll read over this, and then we'll start a little earlier in the Bible and lead up to it. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take your wife, to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Heavenly Father, we have this time together today. We thank you for the celebration of Christmas, of the Lord Jesus' birth. We thank you for all that went on ahead of this in order to bring us salvation through your Son. We thank you for your plan that was initiated before the world began. We thank you that you loved us and you gave your Son for us that we should not perish but have everlasting life. So draw us into your word, draw us into your life, your hope. In Jesus' name. God's plan from the beginning has been to interact with people and to have us all free to respond to him. And I've got a brief little outline. You can follow along in your bulletin. That God appeared to the early people of faith. And the reason he did that was from the very time of creation. In Genesis chapter 1, at verse 26, the Bible tells us, God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move on the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And we find later in Genesis chapter 3 that God evidently had a practice of walking in the garden with Adam and Eve. They had fellowship with him. And the reason God created Adam and Eve was to have another. They had perfect communion in the Godhead, the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit. But God is a creative God. And to create one that would have fellowship with him, to be able to communicate him, to be able to love him, God appeared to the very earliest people. They started with faith. He created them for fellowship and that they would know him. And then, you know the story that there was the creation and then there was the corruption, Adam and Eve sinned, and sin came into the world, death came into the world because of their sin. And down through the ages then, down through the years, God selected a people to be his own. And he called Abraham. And one of the things that he said to Abraham and to his son Isaac and to his grandson Jacob, to Abraham he said, "Leave your country and people and go to a land I will show you." He was pulling them away from the idolatry to have fellowship with God the Creator. And then he said to Isaac, you remember, Isaac was a child of promise. And Abraham and Sarah, who were both, the Bible says, beyond years and not able to have kids, up until a point, and Sarah had been barren all her life, and now she was old, and God said, "No, I'm going to give you a son." And Isaac was that son of promise. And God is building something. I can see his excitement is saying, okay, here's the next step. Here's the next one. And Isaac was born. And God told him a promise. Don't go to Egypt. Live in the land where I will tell you. This is going to be a land of promise. And this is going to be for the nation of Israel, a land where those promises are fulfilled in fellowship with God. To Jacob, he said, as Jacob was laying on the ground and with a rock for a pillow, and God told Jacob, "I'm going to bring you back to this land." The appearances of God were timely. They were times of decisions, but they were infrequent. I'd like you to just lodge that in your mental notebook. That's what I learned I was supposed to have when I was in Bible school, and I never could find mine. But write that down in your mental notebook. Early on, God was speaking to these people, and they heard the voice of God, intimate relationship with God. But there were long periods of time that they didn't hear from God. And we think, you know, it'd be really cool if God would just come alongside. We're shopping for a car, and he says, "Take that one." But he doesn't do that. Because back then, God did personally speak to them. I believe it was through the Lord Jesus. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father, he reveals him. And the Lord Jesus, they were so infrequent. They couldn't know day to day exactly what the Lord's purpose would be. So people in the Old Testament didn't know God as ever present in their own experience. So Moses was given a new design or a new arrangement and a closer relationship. We find in the book of Genesis that things are moving along in order for people to have a closer relationship with God. God told Moses to have people bring an offering and receive an offering from each man whose heart prompts him to give. And then he told him what to give. And they were the things that were going to be used in building the tabernacle, a place of worship. And God told Moses, have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. We have to think on this for a while to catch the excitement, I think. God, from the very beginning, wants to have fellowship with the people. He's created people for himself, for his pleasure. And then he comes to a point when he tells Moses, have him build me a special sanctuary that I can dwell among them. They've only known me as a pillar of cloud to guide them, or a pillar of fire. They've seen me in judgment. But I want to dwell among them. I want to have communication with them. But it's only going to be through the high priest, and he's only going to come into my very presence inside this tabernacle once a year. There's still something about being set off away from God, isn't there? And yet God says, I want to dwell among them. I want to be God to them. God chose a place to be present among his people. There's a term that we use for the dwelling of God, or God dwelling among his people. And he had one of the things that he had them built was the Ark of the Covenant. And it was made out of acacia wood and then overlaid with gold. So everything, when you walked into the tabernacle, there was a table of showbread, or the bread of his presence, and it was gold covered. And you look over here, and there's a candlestick, and it's made of pure gold. And you look here, and there's a table of incense, where incense was offered, and it was overlaid with gold. Man, what a rich place to be. But there was a big curtain, and behind the curtain was the Ark of the Covenant, and it was plated with gold, and it had two angels, cherubim, that were out of beaten gold. And they rose up, and God said, make a gold covering over this ark. And these angels that came up, and their wings met in the middle. And he said, this is where I'm going to dwell. And we call that his glory there in that present place, Shekinah. Shekinah glory. And it's the glory of his presence. It means the place of dwelling. But the glory of his presence, my glory, my Shekinah glory, will be between the cherubim. In Exodus chapter 25, he says, place the cover on top of the ark and put it in the ark of the testimony, which I will give you. There above the cover, between the two cherubim that are over the ark of the testimony, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites. God is moving toward something that is in his plan, according to his plan, his purpose, that's going to far surpass all that he's doing in the Old Testament. But it's all leading up, giving us a picture. How important was it to God to dwell among his people? But what was the hindrance? People were sinners. God is holy. There's a curtain dividing people from God. Only one person, the high priest, goes in there. And then, with the incense, the smoke of the incense, to cover the glory of God. It was different. God took the initiative, though, to come to the people. He took the initiative and had them build the ark, or the tabernacle. There was a new, well, let me read verses 44 or 44 and 46. So I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar, and will consecrate Aaron, the high priest, and his sons to serve me as priests. Then I will dwell among the Israelites and be their God. They will know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of Egypt so that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. So there was a new place of meeting. The tabernacle was set up by God's instructions. There was a new altar. They had made stone altars along the way, but now there was going to be a special offering, the brazen altar, a permanent fixture to sacrifice animals in worship, a new order of priests, the mediators between people and God. And God repeats over and over, I want to dwell in their midst. They were in the presence of God, and God was in their midst. Centuries later came the promise through the prophet Isaiah. So we're going through the practice of the tabernacle and all this. God is set apart from his people. And then God makes this announcement through Isaiah. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. It's going to be present not in a tabernacle, in a building or a tent, but in a person, God with us. Matthew was given the assurance, or Joseph was given the assurance in Matthew chapter 1, that the conception would be by the Holy Spirit. It would be God, God's birth. Luke chapter 1, the young Mary, and you know the stories, you know the accounts of a virgin being troubled and what? How can this happen? I am a virgin. I've never known a man. It's beyond normal human experience. And God's revelation to her was believed and received. And so we consider Mary blessed. She is blessed. We do not worship Mary. We don't pray to Mary. She's not a mediator for us to reach God. She is the bearer, the deliverer of the Son of God. And in that way, she is blessed. She is one person out of all history that had that privilege of bearing the Lord Jesus Christ, delivering him through her body. He was the Son of God because he was a miraculous conception by the Holy Spirit, the Creator, created in Mary. And so we don't pray to her, but we consider her a special lady, a special privilege, and a blessed lady. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, we read about the Word that was with God, the Word was God, in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. And then in verse 14 it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Something changed there, didn't it? We beheld his glory. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, living among the people. Emmanuel, God with us. And the Bible says, the people at that time, the Apostle John says, we looked at him, we saw him, we touched him. He was real. But we had this interaction with him. He is God with us, Emmanuel. Jesus was walking and talking. The presence of God was with people. But 2,000 years ago, Emmanuel was rejected. God with us was put on a cross. God with us was questioned at every turn of his ministry. When he left the womb and lived for perhaps as long as 2 years, when Herod ordered the soldiers, go kill him. He didn't have a life of ease among us. God among us wasn't demanding reverence, obedience. He came for a purpose. This is still according to God's plan and purpose. It was within the plan of God. In Isaiah 53, it tells us it was God's will, the Lord's will, to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. It was God's will to crush him, cause him to suffer. Emmanuel, God with us, rejected, but not apart from the plan of God. It was still God's plan to reach out to us. From the very beginning, this was his plan. Before the world was, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And the Lord Jesus, it speaks of his purpose in the book of Hebrews. And chapter 2, that it's God's plan to bring many sons to glory. So he's looking ahead. He knows his plan to bring many sons. Jesus' birth, his life, his death, his resurrection was all done by the plan of God. This time of year especially, we repeat that. Those couple verses in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered unto you as of first importance that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. How could it say according to? Because it's all according to God's plan. That Christ died according to God's plan. He was buried according to God's plan. He told us in Isaiah 53, he died as a criminal, but he was buried with the rich, the rich man's tomb, and he rose again according to God's plan. We have some amazing information. We wouldn't know it exactly like it is unless God told us. And God with us has gotten much, much more intimate. So the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Not, let's go meet God at the tabernacle or the temple. Let's not wait and see if he shows up somewhere and we'll go find him. He dwells in our hearts by faith. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, God has chosen to make known to the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we know a lot of amazing things happen. But we wouldn't know that God actually dwells in us by his Spirit unless he told us. We would know that there are promptings. We would know we have greater understanding of the Scriptures as we read. But we wouldn't know exactly why is this taking place the way it is. It's because Emmanuel, God with us. And he dwells in us. He's not exterior, he's interior. And he dwells in us. Well, we have an opportunity today to celebrate that. We have this intimate communion with God through the sacrifice of His Son. The Lord Jesus, in dying on the cross, took our sins. He took them away when we receive Him by faith. And we come to the Lord's table with thanksgiving that as we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, purifies us from all sin. This was all according to God's plan. Would you join me in celebrating the Lord's death and resurrection in a time of communion? If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's the most important question. But then to live it out and to celebrate what Jesus did, with thanksgiving that He died for us, He gave His body as the offering for our sin, He shed His blood to cleanse us, to purify us from all our sin. I've asked a few people to come forward and help distribute these, if you would please. And the Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul, in receiving instructions about the communion and the Lord's table, said, "I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Son. And as we consider thousands of years of time, and we think of eternity, that's beyond us. Our finite minds don't comprehend all that. But we can comprehend that Jesus was on earth as Emmanuel, God among us, God with us. We experience Him now as Emmanuel, God in us. Thank You for the offering He made for our sins so that we can have such an intimate communion with You. We give You thanks for that in Jesus' name.